Ah, yes! What's happening? 802. Getting closer. It is day three of Unleashed. I am John Lund, formerly of KNBR. If you're new to the show, thank you so much. Tell all your friends and subscribe. If you aren't new to the show, thank you for hanging out. Thank you for enduring. We'll do this live around 8, hopefully 8. I'm 8:02. When I was at KNBR, we would start sometimes at 10:01 or 10:02. Murph would hang out for a while. We'd get talking. And then the guys in the studio would be doing this to me. Hey, we're on, man! And I'd be like, I'm talking. I'd talk to Paulie or Murph or whomever was hanging around. Rod Brooks was in there one time and hadn't seen Rod in a long time. So I was like, I know I got a show to do. I know it's 10 o'clock. I get it. But anyway, we're close. 8 o'clock. We'll continue to do this. Much appreciated, as always, first and foremost. Thank you so much. And if you're new in here, because it is day number three or show number three, you look at a little chalkboard to my right, and it says intro/update, which is, I'm going to do that really quickly because everybody's got to promote themselves. But if you want an update, I'll do that real quickly. Mike Sando, who's a friend of the show that we'll have on, he lives up in Seattle and does a great job for The Athletic, and he has a piece that I saw this morning talking about the 32 teams and how they're doing at the quarterback position, kind of ranked them. He always does tiers. He put Brock Purdy in some tiers, not crying tiers, but in terms of tiers of how stable the 49ers are at quarterback. We'll get into that. Silver says, which is Mike Silver, and again, this is like Jeopardy. Da-na-na-na. Here are your categories. Silver says, Mike Silver's talking about the offseason, had an interesting tweet that I want to get into. Snell speaks. You saw Blake Snell as a Dodger yesterday, and he's bitching and moaning. Oh, you know, my season with the Giants. Okay. We'll get into that. Willie Adames, interesting name for the Giants. He'd be maybe top of my list. I'd still like to get some pitching, but Ahsan Kim is nice, but I'd like to get, I'd rather have Adames for sure. Dubs injuries. We'll get into the Warriors a little bit. Because it was something that I went off on Brandon Pajemski yesterday. Go back to the podcast yesterday. It'll make more sense, but I'll explain it again. Broadcasters, I had that on there yesterday. I did not get to it. Screamin' A is going to get a new contract. Good for him. 6 years, $120 million is what it sounds like. That's great. Brady, Bill, all that kind of stuff. I love talking broadcasters. We always did at KNBR. And so it's great to be in this forum because you get some feedback. Some people like talking about it, some don't. I don't know. I've always been entertained by talking about the broadcasters and who does the game. Some people don't care. And then I have a Caboose story, and while I'm still working out some kinks, I have the picture of it, and I have the video of it. So if you can't hear it, you can tell me right away, and then we'll play it, and then I'll figure this whole thing out one of these days. But anyway, thank you so much. I am John Lund, formerly of KNBR. We'll get to sports in just a second, but real quick, as far as what I am up to, if you're tuning in for the first time, I was let go by KNBR about 3 weeks ago. And just like anybody, you're like, oh my God, what do I do? Especially because, you know, I've been in radio for 28 years, and I said this in day one, and I'll say it every single time somebody asks me about it, which is radio and media in general right now, and generally always has been, like walking on a high wire. And I did it for 28 years, started in Salt Lake City in the late 70s, had a great start to my career, Jordan and the Bulls. I was assigned to the opposing locker room, and that was pretty much the coolest thing ever, and I don't think it's ever been topped in my entire career. But you know, I just got lucky and went to Portland and Pittsburgh and Dallas and all these places and ended up here in 2011 when 95.7 The Game started, went over to KNBR in 2016, and I've had great success. I've been lucky in terms of the teams I've covered, lots of championships, lots of cool stuff, lots of great ratings, lots of incredible people, and it just ended a few weeks ago, and I'm not bitter about it. I'm not angry about it. Like I said, you're walking on a wire. I hadn't been fired for 28 years in a business that everybody's like, whoa, 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 and getting laid off, this, that, and the other, and the industry's changed. So that's my thought on that. In terms of this, this is the first thing that I'm going to do. There's a lot of things on the horizon for me and for a lot of people like me in this market and other markets. I think you can probably figure that out. There's a lot of great radio people out here, and we're all going to congregate. I'm on with Larry Kruger every single Monday night, And so those things are all going to happen, and you're going to get your favorites in time. So I'm really excited about what's ahead, and I'm not just saying that. It's cool. It's at first, you're like, what the hell? You got to make the call to your wife. Yeah. And she's like, great. And, you know, you go through all sorts of emotions, but now it's been a few weeks, and I'm, you know, spending my days talking to lots of people and doing the podcast, which I love, and reconnecting with listeners and viewers. And it's just cool, and it's very freeing. You know, I don't have to break it. You know, it's 8:07 right now. I'd have to, if I was at KNBR, I'd have to break at like 8:10. And then I'd have to break again at 8:28. Then I'd have to break again at 8:44, which, you know, we never did break on time. But you get the point. There's constraints, and there's advertisers who you love because they pay the bills and all that kind of stuff. But it's kind of a free forum. You get to talk to me. I get to talk to you. I enjoy the whole thing. So anyway, it's awesome. I love it. It's very entertaining. Make sure you follow and subscribe. That's what everybody's got to say. So at John Lund Radio on Twitter, at John Lund Radio on Instagram. I'm on all the forums as far as social media is concerned. Just use at John Lund Radio. So I post stuff all day long. Not only do I do the live show at 8 in the morning every single weekday, but then what I do is during the day, if there's something that breaks, I'll do 3 minutes on, just a quick hitter. I'll repost some of the best stuff from the show. I'm going to be doing live chats at night, talking to people, so it's great. You know, we're going to get guests starting next week. I'm just putting them all together. I just wanted to reconnect with you this week. So that's what's going on. So just make sure you follow at John Lund Radio, and you can find me. There is a bit of confusion because about a year ago, and anytime you confuse listeners, viewers, they're just going to go to hell with it. So I'm working this out, but I worked for Locked On Podcast Network for a year. KNBR allowed me to about a year or two ago, and we did a John Lund Unleashed, and I really liked the concept of it. And so I talked to him, and I said, will you take all the other Unleashed stuff down, and I'm going to start it over? And they said, yeah, no problem. Hasn't happened. So I've seen a lot of people go to the old webpage, the old YouTube channel. And just to show you what I'm talking about here is this is what the YouTube page looks like. So if you're not subscribing to that YouTube page, at John Lund Unleashed Pod, at John Lund Unleashed Pod, that's the one that you want to be subscribing to. That's what the page looks like. Please do that. Tell all your friends, because I have heard from a lot of people, wait a minute, I'm getting this old page that you haven't done for years. What the heck is going on? So that's what it looks like. If you're listening on the podcast, you're like, what the hell are you talking about? Get on to something. I will, but I just want you to know, at John Lund Unleashed Pod, all right? So make sure that you are hitting that. There's my John Lund, at John Lund Radio Twitter page. Like I said, I got tons of social media all over the place. So that's what's going on as far as all those things are concerned, and that's the thing you got to do. You got to make sure that you're pumping yourself, so that's what I'm doing, making sure that we're getting everything going as far as that goes. So that's what's going on right now. At John Lund Radio, make sure you tell your friends, subscribe, all those kind of things. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'll get out to some questions and everything on the chat, but I just want to start out with a couple of different things. So that's intro update on the chalkboard right there, and I think we're done with it. By the way, not only can you interact on the chat, but I'm easy to get, and I'm looking at it right now, at John Lund Radio on Twitter, which I just showed you. So if you want to interact with the show right now, I literally have my Twitter feed up in front of me. So if you got questions, comments, thoughts, whatever. And I also, by the way, on the YouTube page, last thing I promise, I also on the YouTube page posted a bunch of stuff, questions, comments, all those kind of things. I put a poll up there in regards to what you want to see from the show. Do you want guests? Do you want hardcore sports talk? Do you want just audio, video kind of things? Do you want, like, what do you want out of the show? I think that's really important. Like, I can sit here and blab and think I know what you want, but maybe you don't. Maybe you just want straight guests and you don't want me blabbing and laughing and being a jackass, so that's fine. So just go to my YouTube page and answer some of those questions. It'll help me make a better show for you. All right, let's get to it. Sports talk-wise, let's start with this. I like to always pop things up, read things, and then react off of those things. This is my friend Mike Sando from The Athletic. I recommend you read him. He does a tremendous job on Mondays right after the game. And then all through the week, he's always got lots of great stuff. So he loves to do things in tiers. He did quarterback tiers. If you listen to him, we had him on KNBR, Greg and I, and we have him on all the time. He's a great guy. And he does a thing today in The Athletic that you need to check out, which is he puts the 32 teams and their quarterback situation into confidence into the future. You know, how you feeling about it? Like, Patrick Mahomes is signed. Patrick Mahomes is great. Kansas City's number one. Josh Allen's signed. Josh Allen's great. The Bills are number two and on down the line. So he puts Brock Purdy in kind of a middle tier that way, or at a middle tier as far as the quarterbacks and as far as the, you know, teams at the bottom obviously don't have a quarterback at all. I just mentioned Mahomes and Allen, and then you got guys like Brock in the middle. So it says 6 weeks ago, the conversation revolved around whether Purdy might cash in for $60 million per year, but as the season slips away and some of Purdy's physical limitations surface, which I've talked about, how dare you say that? Could the 49ers decide to wait? Could they pursue more of a compromise deal in the spirit of what Green Bay did with Love, Jordan Love, in 2023? There's time to figure out something. So in regards to Brock, and I'll say this again, I'm not down on Brock, but what teams do, especially in division, so the Seahawks do it, and the Rams do it, and the Cardinals do it, and then it kind of expands out. And because everybody's running a version of Kyle Shanahan's offense, it does make it a bit easier for teams to do this. I've made this reference before. Years and years and years ago, I was covering college football, and every time someone would play Air Force, you'd be like, oh, my God, because they're still running, like, the wing tee and the trip. And it was really hard because they were the only team doing it, so they're hard to prepare for. In the 70s, Oklahoma, Nebraska, hell, everybody's running that offense. You saw it every single week. Well, that's kind of what it's like in the NFL with the Shanahan offense. There's bits and pieces of it with everybody, and most of the teams are running a pretty large version of it. So my point in that is teams figure it out. The teams then figure out individual players and if they can stop them, and that's what makes the great ones great, because there's no antidote for those players. But because Brock Purdy, and I'm not down on him, but because Brock Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant in the seventh-round pick, he didn't have all the measurables. He's not as big. He's about 6'1", and he might not even be that. Doesn't have the strongest arm. Is absolutely more athletic than people thought. But when he was going through that first year, it's like a batter in baseball, and then they got to adjust and adjust and adjust and adjust. And then finally, after a few years, you really know what that player is. So we jump on a guy's really bad as fans or a guy's really good. We do it too quickly, but it's kind of led by the talking heads on TV, and they want to anoint somebody quickly, and because we have time to fill every single day. So after a few games, that guy's the greatest player ever. After a few games, that guy's the worst player ever. Well, now that Brock Purdy, I think he has like 32 starts, so that's two seasons. So now the teams have said, okay, this is what we want to force Brock Purdy to do. Let's see if he can do it. And he's adjusted well to a lot of these things. And Kyle Shanahan is brilliant. And yes, he's better when he has his weapons around him. I've made the comp to Jared Goff. If you look at Goff this year, he's an MVP candidate. Why? Because, well, the conditions have been great. He plays inside a lot. But he's got a ton of weapons. So the Lions, you know, Aiden Hutchinson's down, so they're not as good. But they got a solid defense. It's a really good team. And that's kind of where Brock Purdy was a year ago. He had all the players. He had a pretty good defense. The situation was right for him, and he was really, really good. And now I look at his situation, and in reading Sando's thing this morning, everybody said, and I was included, he's getting $50 million. He's getting $60 million. I'm talking about average annual value. He's going to get that money. Now, yeah, I think he's going to get that money, but would anybody, like, let's say the 49ers hypothetically were to go in the draft, they didn't get a deal and hadn't had a deal done yet. They won't get a deal done before then. Free agency wouldn't have started, all that kind of stuff. Plus, he's under for another year. So you look at it and you say to yourself, all right, would somebody give you two first-round picks for Brock Purdy? No, they wouldn't. Would they give you one first-round pick for Brock Purdy? Some teams would. The Giants and the Raiders are going to take the first two quarterbacks, Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, in the draft, and then after that, it's a crapshoot. Carson Beck, all these different guys, they're not worthy, I don't think, of first-round consideration. Maybe through the whole process they will be, but point is that let's say you're a team picking 8 or 9 or 7 or 8 or whatever the case may be, and I don't know, would you take a top 10 pick for Brock Purdy? I never would have thought that before. Last year I would have said, are you kidding me? They got a piece of gold in the 7th round. They're not trading this guy. But now I'd have to look at it. Because do you want to give Brock Purdy $50 to $60 million? Do you want to make that mistake? I almost said mistake, and maybe it's a mistake, maybe it's not. But you look at Dallas, they give Dak Prescott that money, they give CeeDee Lamb that money, and then they can't afford anybody else. I like Brock a lot, and there's only a few elite quarterbacks in this league, and I've said this before, God doesn't make 32, he probably makes 10. It's head-scratching in the fact that the NFL has never figured, well, recently, hasn't figured out how to develop these guys. Do they sit? Do they play? It's just not a good system. Like, Trey Lance needed, like, 3 years in a developmental league. He needed to play in the G League, what the equivalent is of the G League in the NBA, to even be considered. And he can't get this. There's no way for you to get experience and play at this level unless you're like a top pick, and then it's an opportunity to, but then quickly it's like, well, you can't play, you're out of here. So, look, they're between a rock and a hard place with Brock Purdy. He's going to get the money, but I certainly would consider it if one of those teams in the NFL draft don't get either Ward or Sanders, who I'm not sure that either of those guys are going to be great, but that's who's going to get picked in the top five. And then after that, if there's a team, you know, in the top 10, let's say this is like the Jets, for example, they need a quarterback. They're not getting one of the top two guys. Like, what if they give you a top 10 pick for Brock Purdy? You might have to look at it. Just saying. Give me your thoughts. At John Lund Radio, hit me up on the chat as well. That is the Sando on Brock. Let's go to Silver Says on the offseason. And I don't know that this is a revelation or anything like that, but here's Mike Silver. And he says, the last time the 49ers went through a season, by the way, he's with The Athletic now. The last time the 49ers went through a season like this in 2020, they rebooted in the offseason by trading three first-round picks to secure the third overall pick of the draft. Why are you reminding me of that? And selecting Trey Lance, this won't be a chill offseason. Again, I've been consistent on KNBR and here in talking about that. Of course it's not going to be a chill offseason. The defensive line, the offensive line need to be fixed. They're going to have to decide, and this is going to be the hardest part of the offseason, and it's going to elicit the biggest response from the fan base. It's not if, it's not when, it's who. So if you start looking at guys, I don't think Javon Hargrave is going to be back. I'm not sure that Dre Greenlaw is going to be back. Hufanga, I don't think, is going to be back. Ward is a free agent and certainly not going to be back along the offensive line. I've said this consistently. I'm not a McKivitz guy. I'm not a Banks guy. Trent Williams can't play forever. And I'm not saying that they're done. They're done for this year. I'm not saying they're done long term. I think the national media is missing the point. We can see teams bounce back. Injuries happen when you get healthy, and the Niners usually get healthy. This is like 2020, like Silver just said in that tweet. This is like 2020. It's just weird, and that's what happens in football. You can have seasons where you have talent, you just can't fight the injury bug, and that's essentially what's happened. This is going to be a different roster. I really thought and had heard a couple of years ago that George Kittle was one of those guys. He gets hurt. You start looking at what the 49ers have done in the past. If you get hurt a lot, they're going to let you go. If you get hurt a lot and you make a lot of money, you're absolutely gone. Think about Jimmy Garoppolo. Think about Eric Armstead. Those kind of guys. D Ford, obviously. You got to be able to – the best ability is availability, and you got to be able to play, especially when you're making a bunch of money. And the thing that's strange, every single year this happens, I was a victim of this. I'd say, well, this team's not going to eat $20 million or $30 million or $40 million in the cap, and they do it all the time now. So it's going to be, we're going to get Brock in here, and this is why this all ties back into Brock. Okay, Brock's going to make $50 to $60 million on an AAV, and not to bore you how this thing works, but it starts out slow, it ramps up. They want the long contract so they can take the bonus money and elongate it over the length of the contract so it can keep the number down. That's as much as of math as I'll get into on that kind of thing. So it's not like Brock is going to hit the cap next year at 50 or 60, but it is going to be a roll up there like that. And to me, that's why I know it sounds crazy, but to me, they may look at Brock Purdy and say, man, I'm not sure we can pay him $50 to $60 million on an AAV, and I bet somebody will. And if someone gives us a first-round pick and they have places, as I just pointed out, because they're going to be losing guys, specifically a pass rusher opposite Bosa, specifically interior defensive linemen, that's where they made their hay in 2019. That's when this team is great, and they've just fallen off. It's just some of it's their fault, some of it isn't. Obviously, it starts with Buckner, goes to Kinlaw, and then you got to re-sign Hargrave, and he gets hurt. Some of it's bad luck. But they have got to get their defense back in order, and that starts with the front. That starts with the front seven. It starts with absolutely the front. Starts with the offensive line. That's what they need to do in the offseason. But the offseason ties in Brock Purdy because Brock Purdy's going to get paid. So Silver says this is not going to be a chill offseason. I agree 100%. It's not going to be a chill offseason. It shouldn't be a chill offseason. And if you look at what the Warriors tried to do, if you look at the Giants always try to do, somehow my confidence is in the 49ers. They're going to have to tear some of this apart, but the national media is saying that they're dead and buried and are putting dirt on the grave of the 49ers, the casket of the 49ers. I don't think that's going to happen, but the offseason is going to be a far more entertaining to me than what the regular season has been because they have massive decisions to make. What's your confidence level in Kyle Shanahan? What's your confidence level in John Lynch? What's your confidence level in the front office? To me, it's pretty high. They're not going to be signing anybody. They're not going to have that big surprise like they had with Javon Hargrave. It's going to be maintaining and then making the big decision. And I think there is a decision to be made. I don't think it's automatic like I thought it was on Brock Purdy because you can get yourself in a lot of trouble if you spend that money unwisely. All right, let's get into a little bit of the baseball talk here. And Blake Snell, and this doesn't look weird to me. He wasn't around long enough. He wasn't around long enough for me to be like, oh, look at Blake Snell in a Dodgers uniform. Anybody in a Dodgers uniform is going to piss off Giants fans. But it says right there, if you're watching on the podcast, or excuse me, if you're watching on the YouTube channel and not listening on the podcast, it says on the clip I just put up there, Blake Snell's decision to sign with the Dodgers in free agency was easy after a frustrating offseason last year. And he wasn't a total ass about the whole thing. But he just talked in terms of, you know, the frustration of the year and all those kind of things, easy decision. I said this in the offseason. I said Blake Snell is going to be one of the first guys to sign. Early in the offseason, I said this. Blake Snell is going to be one of the first guys to sign because there's no way. He's going right into Boris to say, dude, we're not doing that again. And the thing I find funny about Blake Snell, and I'm not angry at all that he left. I'm not even angry that he left to the Dodgers. I'll explain it in a second. You can completely disagree with me. I don't like the way that he looks in the uniform. I'm not saying that. And I'm sure he's going to pitch well against the Giants. But I've said this before. He threw 104 innings last year. He's not an innings eater. And if you look at Buster Posey and the type of guys that he caught guys like Matt Cain and Madison Bumgarner. He's going to want 200 innings out of a guy, and that's Corbin Burns. And I'm not going to get into Corbin Burns because I've done that the last 2 days. That's the number one guy I want. He's a horse. He's going to throw 200 innings. I've also given you the numbers on the Dodgers' projected rotation in which Tony Gonsolin and Ohtani pitched no innings, and Snell pitched 104, and Yamamoto pitched 90, and Tyler Glasnow was their Iron Man. He pitched 134. That's just over 300 innings from five guys. Now, maybe Ohtani's just awesome, and maybe everybody bounces back and they give him, you know, 1,000 innings or whatever, but it's probably not. And Dustin May is hurt and all that kind of stuff. I'm not down on the whole thing. But what I'm saying is that it doesn't hurt me that Blake Snell left. I never thought Blake Snell was going to be a Giant. And for him to, in any way, shape, or form, blame the Giants for him having a terrible season, the Giants threw him a lifeboat. The Giants said, here's a $30-plus million contract. And he had two or three really, well, he probably had 10 good games. He had a great no-hitter. I'm not saying that he doesn't have talent. I'm not saying he wouldn't have been a great guy to have. But once they named Buster Posey president of baseball operations, there was no way they were bringing back Blake Snell. Just wasn't happening. So anyway, he's a Dodger, and that was yesterday. Here's better news. You're going to like this. Mark Feinsand, who is out of New York, and there's a handful of guys. Rosenthal is obviously really good. Joel Sherman, I think, just rides on coattails and sends stuff out. John Heyman blocked me on Twitter because I made an arson judge joke about him. Come on, dude. If you do an arson judge, don't you have to make fun of yourself and be like, yeah, you got me. I mean, he did. I don't know if he blocked Logan Webb. Logan Webb tweeted him and said, not cool, bro. Not cool. It wasn't cool. But anyway, Mark Feinsand is one of the guys that is nationally respected. And so he wrote a piece the other day, I think it was actually yesterday, December 4th. By the way, I have a story on my anniversary, which was yesterday, so remind me of that. But Mark Feinsand says, the Yankees have Anthony Volpe at shortstop already, blah, 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 that they're looking at Willie Adames. I once they sign Juan Soto, and I know how they have more money than God, and so do the Dodgers and everything else, but I don't see the Yankees going out and keeping Soto, which I think they're going to do. And they're just pushing up the deal. Juan Soto fits perfectly in New York. You got the short right field porch. I think he loves playing there. He said it numerous times. I think it's a matter of when, not if. So it says right at the bottom there, the Giants have serious interest in Adames, according to Feinsand. They also considered Ha-Seong Kim, of course, who was with the Padres and played for Bob Melvin. So in terms of those two, Ha-Seong Kim doesn't blow my skirt up much. He's all right. He's solid. I'm not saying that he's not, but he kind of reminds me of a Giants guy. He's solid defensively at short. He's coming off a major injury. He's going to miss time. He's got okay, not great power. I know that he's got fans on the team in terms of Bob Melvin. I know that Jung-Hoo Lee is a good friend of his from Korea. I understand all those things, and people, you know, you've seen tweets and everything. They're getting close. I hope they're not. I don't want Ha-Seong Kim. I look at Ha-Seong Kim and I go, okay, he's better than what they have. It allows them to move Tyler Fitzgerald to second base. They'd still need a first baseman. You got Matt Chapman at third. Bailey's good defensively. I understand all those things. But you've got to go out. And I'll go back to something that I always say. I don't think hitters will sign here. I think Adames, if the Giants have interest, I think that Adames would have to be overpaid by the Giants at a pretty high level. Carlos Correa was, if he could have passed a physical. That deal was like $300 million. It is a good thing that they didn't get Correa. I think that it goes back to a philosophy of mine. Yeah, Corbin Burns, I think, is perfect. I don't think the Giants will go over 5 years. I don't think they'll go over $200 million. I hope that I'm wrong. But it's the same thing with Willy Adames, and even more so with the hitter. So hitters are like, oh, God. Like, San Francisco's kryptonite. Not San Francisco, the city, but the ballpark. Oracle Park is kryptonite. They're like, I do not want to play there. It makes their numbers go down. Baseball's a numbers game. They just, no way, because they're going to play for another contract. Adames is young enough to get another contract beyond this. So if he can hit 15 or 20 home runs at Oracle Park, he could hit 30 somewhere else, like he did last year for the Brewers. But throw the finances aside, and let's just say they could get Willy Adames. Can they get Adames and Burns in the same offseason? That's the question I would ask. Because if you can get Adames at short, and now you're Chapman, Adames, move Tyler Fitzgerald over to second. You still got a hole at first base. Look, Bryce Eldridge is what, 20, just turned 20, was 19, just turned 20, I think, something like that. It's far too early to be saying that he could fill that hole, maybe at the end of next year, maybe 2 years from now. I don't know exactly. But so they've still got a hole at first base. I'm not a Lamont Wade Jr. guy, so that would be an issue. But still, an infield, when you're looking at Chapman, Adames, you're looking pretty good on the left side of the infield. Adames is not a great defender, but Matt Chapman makes up for a little bit of that as well. So, and then Fitzgerald at second base, Bailey's catching. And then the outfield, yeah, Ramos is in left. People are acting like Jung-Hoo Lee had this amazing year. I said, oh, Jung-Hoo Lee's going to be back. He's not proven. And then, of course, the cockroach that will never die. I like Mike Yastrzemski personally. It's just when Mike Yastrzemski's your starting right fielder on a team that's this weak offensively, that's not good. If you had a really good offensive team, the Dodgers, the Yankees, somebody like that, and you stuck Mike Yastrzemski in right field as a really good defensive right fielder and decent pop, you'd be like, yeah, that's good. But not on a team like this. So he's probably your right fielder just based on the fact that he's solid in a lot of areas, but he's not a great hitter. I wouldn't like that. But Adames would be a guy that would make me excited. Corbin Burns would be a guy that would make me excited. And maybe I'm just doing a version of a sports radio guy here and sitting there going, oh, my God, if they get this guy and this guy and this guy. But I don't think it's too much for a team that doesn't have a lot of guys making a ton of money. Ramos isn't making a ton of money. Lee's making okay money. Yaz isn't making a ton of money. At first base, they'll probably go cheap. Fitzgerald's not making money. Chapman's making money. Adames would make money. Bailey's not even to arbitration. A lot of their young pitching is not making a ton of money. So if they added Burns and Adames in a season, in one-off season, I think that's pretty good. Then add a couple of, you know, cheap relievers. You can always make your bullpen better. Add a couple of cheap relievers, and maybe you're cooking with gas. I'm not saying you're catching the Dodgers. I'm not even talking about the Dodgers. I'm talking about maybe competing with the Padres and the Diamondbacks. That's where they are. Our minds are screwed up, by the way, on the whole thing. The Dodgers, as Joe Lacob would say, light years. They're light years ahead. Try to get into the playoffs. But what do you think there? I think that would be my ultimate offseason. Willy Adames and Corbin Burns. Those would be my two guys. Give me your thoughts on that. Hit me up on the chat. Hit me up at John Lund Radio. Again, it's John Lund Radio Unleashed. It's John Lund Unleashed. And make sure that you hang out every day. 8 a.m. is when we're going to go live. And we will go throughout the day. Nighttime, we'll do chats, everything like that. We're going to get a bunch of guys together from the radio group like I talked about this entire week. So make sure that you tune in. Make sure that you're hanging out at John Lund Radio. Check out the YouTube page because I post stuff all throughout the day. And all my social media, whether it be Instagram, all those different things, I'm posting things as well. So make sure that you're checking things out. All right, let's go over to the Warriors real quick. I got into this conversation yesterday, got some really good feedback. People were like, hey, man, you're being too hard on Podziemski, because I said in the off, I said yesterday and even made a clip of it that they were stupid. The Warriors were stupid to not trade Podziemski in the offseason. I don't see star quality. I see Alex Caruso, which isn't bad. It's just that's not the kind of guy that you should be saying untouchable. And Kuminga, I don't even think you should say untouchable on. I just don't see it. I'll get into that more in a minute, but let me just, I'll use that. This is kind of a jumping off point, and then we'll talk about it. But on my screen right now, if you're listening to the podcast again, you're like, what the? The Warriors have ruled Steph Curry and Draymond Green out for tomorrow's game against the Rockets. That's now tonight's game against the Rockets. And it's the very reason why I went on that rant yesterday, because I don't know if we're doing this more in the Bay Area than it seems everybody else does. But how many times have we said, man, when the Warriors get healthy, man, when the Giants get healthy, man, when the Niners get healthy? We do it all the time. In football, everybody does it. But we've got a lot of injuries because the teams are older, right? The Warriors are older. The Niners are older. The Giants are kind of a mix. But the reason why I went on, and I'm just defending myself to a bunch of people at John Lund Radio, which I love. I've said this a million times. I love feedback. You don't have to agree with me. It's an open forum. Like the rest of the country is, you can't talk anything. You can't talk politics. You can't talk religion. You can't talk sports. You can't talk, you know, because everybody's got their opinion. It has to be right. And if you don't agree with me, man, we're fighting. That's not how it is here. You know, I love differing opinions. What do I know? You know, I've been doing this 28 years, all this kind of stuff, but it doesn't mean I know anything, let alone everything. So I love to get different feedback so I can go, oh, you know what? You bring up a great point. I'm a jackass. I'm fine with that. But the point I was making yesterday about Brandon Podziemski is, if you want to make somebody untouchable, okay. You know, when Mike Trout first came up, Mike Trout's untouchable. But I just don't believe in the concept of untouchable, because I think everything's got a price. Everyone's got a price in and out of sports. Nothing's untouchable in our world. If you want a certain house, pay double what it's worth. If you, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there's no untouchables, let alone a guy like Brandon Podziemski. And I'm not, as I said yesterday, I'm not down on Brandon Podziemski. I'm just saying that if your goal is Steph Curry, hang on. I just had to sneeze there for a second. If your goal is to maximize Steph Curry, then Brandon Podziemski's not untouchable. Jonathan Kuminga's not untouchable. Have those guys shown the ability to be a number one guy to carry a team? Absolutely not. They're young. But they're pieces. So when Steph Curry retires, whenever that is, maybe he plays forever, but when he does retire, they're going to be in a world of hurt. They're going to be back in the lottery. They're going to be like the old Warriors. Unless they get incredibly lucky and get a Kawhi Leonard or something like that to expand the window. But generally, teams go through these up and downs like a roller coaster, and they're good for a while. The Warriors have defied those things, much like the Patriots and the Spurs and all those things. They've done a tremendous job keeping the run together. There's a number of those teams who have done it, but everybody, it's like death. Everybody's going to face it. Steph is going to retire. And so when I see injuries, to go back to that, when I see injuries to Curry and I see injuries to Draymond Green, they have limited time, and you can't wait for Kuminga. And you can't wait for Podziemski to snap out of it, his sophomore slump or whatever the hell's going on. You can't wait for it. It's got to be now. So if you're going to maximize Steph Curry, you should have in the offseason said, all right, Podziemski is available. Kuminga is available. Because the thought of, well, we got to keep these guys because they're going to be part of the next generation. They're going to be pieces of the next generation. Podziemski's a nice piece. Jonathan Kuminga has upside, and he is still young enough to become a star. But in my world, if I was a general manager, I would take those chances. I'll trade a guy. Look, if I got egg on my face and I look stupid, that's the way it goes. But I'm trying to get a championship. I'm trying to get Steph another championship. So if I can get a player who's ready now, and this is all about timing, if I can get a player who's ready now and can help now, and even if he's a little bit of a lesser player than the potential that a Kuminga or a Podziemski has, then I've got to pull the trigger. And then in a few years, people can get mad at me and all those kind of things. But if I go up to the podium and I say, look, I was trying to win a championship. Isn't that the goal? Then, yeah, I think I get a pass on that. Now, no, you won't get a pass because you're going to get fired. But as a GM, that's how I would look at it. I wouldn't be afraid. And these days, and I don't know why it is, it's cheap labor, part of it, but nobody wants to trade anybody. They want to hoard prospects. That's what Farhan did, hoarding prospects. Oh, I can't trade anybody. You should know your system better than anybody else. You see, whether it's the NBA, you see these guys every day. You know their strengths and weaknesses. In baseball, you see these young players, you scout them, you know their strengths and weaknesses. The great teams, I'm sorry to say this, I really am, but the great teams like the Dodgers, for example, know who to trade and know generally who not to trade. Go back and look at I was looking at this yesterday because Josiah Gray, one of the pitchers that came over Dodgers to the Nationals in the Trey Turner and Max Scherzer trade going to the Dodgers, he was on and they showed the trade that he was in. He's like the best player by far. They didn't really get anybody. You know, you're going to get the occasional Zach Wheeler, and Washington made a great trade with the Padres in the Juan Soto deal. They got a bunch of good guys. But generally speaking, if you get the best player in the deal, you win the deal. Probably 80 to 90% of the time. There's the Herschel Walker trade. Absolutely. Go back and look it up. The Cowboys got great off of that. Herschel Walker was a Cowboy, got traded to the Vikings, didn't really work out. The Cowboys used those picks to get players who helped them win Super Bowls. That's the exception, not the rule. So for all these teams now who are afraid, and it's like, cheap, you know, I don't want to bring on the big contract. I don't want to bring on the veteran guy. Well, if your stated goal is to help Steph Curry win a championship, then that's what you do. And then we see yesterday that Steph Curry's hurt and Draymond Green's hurt and they're not going to play in games. That's just the way it's going to be. You've got to get them help, and you can't be afraid to make moves. And as a GM, if that's part of your DNA that you're afraid to make moves and you care what the media thinks, you care about what some jackass like me in a podcast or anybody on the radio or writing or whatever the case, whatever the media forum is now, so what? All you have to do is saunter up to the old microphone and say, I tried to win a championship. Because that's what you're supposed to do as a general manager. Now, I said this yesterday. There's lots of teams. There's lots of owners who say, just keep the turnstiles moving. But that's not the Warriors. So do something. That's all. Because you start seeing Steph getting hurt and all these different things, and you're like, oh, that's not good. Anyway, there's a thought on the Warriors as they take on the Rockets tonight. Let me get to this because I haven't I wasn't able to get to this, and I want to get to this. So tell me if I'm wrong here, all right? Tell me if I'm wrong and you hate talking about broadcasters. Because Papa and I loved it. I love talking about the Manning cast. I love talking about new things. I love talking about new concepts. I have favorite and least favorite, I don't use the word hate, but least favorite broadcasters, and it does affect the way or my enjoyment of a game. It just does. Now, some people are like, whatever, don't care, turn it down, you make too big of a deal of it. On the text line at KNBR, where we got most of our feedback, it was kind of a 50-50 bag. Some people didn't care. Some people were very passionate about it. I'm not a hater of Stephen A. Smith. I can say that I don't get it. And you can tell me where I'm wrong there. I don't get it. But I'm not a hater because if Stephen A. Smith, as you can see on your screen right now from the New York Post, if you're watching on the YouTube channel, it says Stephen A. Smith nearing blockbuster $120 million ESPN contract extension. 6 for $120. $20 million. I mean, not too long ago, $20 million was what a quarterback made. John Gruden said they weren't going to keep Khalil Mack because you can't have two guys on your football team, and Derek Carr was already making $25 million. You can't have two guys on your football team making $20 million. And now, in media, like $5 million used to be a lot. I think Madden made like $5 million, and he was the man. So Screamin' A is going to make $120 million over 6 years, $20 million per, according to the New York Post. Now, everything comes down to money. Everything comes down to how much revenue you can generate. So clearly there's sponsors and people and all these kind of things. And I worked for ESPN for a number of years. And what they do is they do massive amounts of research, massive amount of research. So when you tune into ESPN to one of the talk shows, if you do that, I'm not a big fan of them, but if you do that and they're continually talking about Dak Prescott, LeBron James, you know, that basically what in the music industry they call a short rotation. So it's like you hear the same song over and over and over every 20 minutes, and you're like, what the hell? It's called a short rotation in music, and it's the same thing. Those shows do all this research, and you think you're sick of a certain guy. You think you're sick of Aaron Rodgers, but you're not. You think you're sick of LeBron James, but you're not. You think you're sick of the Cowboys and Dak, but you're not. et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, on down the line. And that's even though the news cycle moves as fast as it ever has in our world, ESPN's going to talk about the same things every single day, and they're going to try to think of a new way to ask the question and talk about it because they know those things hit. Those things get ratings. It's just the way it is. So that's why they do those kind of things, and every single day that's what they talk about. And Stephen A. must be making it work. He must be generating revenue. He must be generating clicks. But what's so funny is, to use another music analogy, it's like, you know when you're sitting in your car and a hit song comes on and you're kind of embarrassed about it, so you roll up your windows, you're at like a stoplight, you don't want to sing or anything. Well, somebody's listening to those songs. Everybody's bitching and moaning going, who listens to Britney Spears? Who listens to, you know, whatever the embarrassing music of the moment is. Who would listen to that? And then you have it on in your car, but you just have the windows rolled up. I don't know who watches Screamin' A. I don't know, you know, the ratings. Papa could always talk about the TV ratings. They got to be decent enough. I know they're not huge. They're not like games, but they must be decent enough. He makes my ears bleed. But God bless him for making $120 million. I just don't get it. And then in terms of the broadcasters, I put down their broadcasters on the chalkboard. It says Smith, which is Screamin' A, Tom Brady, Bill, as in Bill Belichick. If I looked at Brady and Belichick, because there was the reason I brought that up the other day and had broadcasters on the chalkboard the other day and then never got to it was somebody said that Matt Ryan was more the rookie of the year this year than what was Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. I haven't watched a lot of Matt Ryan. When I have, it's kind of like Alex Smith. They're good. They're knowledgeable. But what people are looking for in media nowadays is bombastic and opinion-driven and loud and, you know, all those kind of things, and that tends to resonate somehow with listeners, I guess. Tom Brady's gotten better, I got to admit. We had Tom Sr. on our show at KNBR, talked to him about it. And look, I've said this too, and I said this on KNBR a lot, is putting Brady in the number one chair, it's kind of like when Jason Witten did it. Like, you're not going to put – you're in a tough spot hiring Tom Brady and giving him all that money because you're not going to put him on the number four team for the Jags and the Titans game. Tom Brady's not going to do that. He's above that. So you're not going to put him on that game. So you got to put him on the marquee game. They're going to be doing the Super Bowl this year. He's gotten better. I think that people have overly criticized him. He doesn't have the greatest personality. He's trying. It's kind of forced. It's kind of fake. But it's kind of what I expected. And I do expect long-term with Tom Brady, even though the money with Fox is enormous. I think it's, what, $375 million? It's enormous money, and you can't walk away from it, but I don't think he can do both jobs, be a owner with the Raiders and then be a broadcaster and give his opinion as strongly as you have to give your opinion because the NFL is all over him. Like, they already had an incident this year where he criticized officials, and then people asked all the questions, and the media freaked out and went, whoa, Tom Brady, can he do that? What do you mean? Can he have an opinion? Can he criticize? It was a hit that got a player kicked out of a game, and he's like, I don't agree with that. And so he's questioning officiating, which is something an owner can't do, and all this thing. Look, he's got a 5% stake in the Raiders. He's got a partner that's got a 5% stake. He's got a 5% stake, which to me is still weird. You tortured one of the, it's one of the worst moments in Raiders history, and now you're a part owner, but whatever. That's Mark. But he owns 5% of the team. I think he'd rather do that. Plus, the reports are that Mark Davis is going to give Tom Brady some sort of power, and he wouldn't be a silent partner. He wants to probably help run the team and all those things. So would he rather be a broadcaster where he's okay? Or would he rather try to run a front office like Jordan tried to? That's been a whole lot of success for really, really elite athletes to go in and try to run a team and be successful at it. It just hasn't really happened. Magic Johnson, I don't know, he was more of a figurehead, but still, it's hard. Jerry West was awesome at it. But after that, it's kind of like, you can tell me where I'm wrong there. And then as far as Bill Belichick is concerned, he's been awesome. Who would have thought that the guy that, because we used to play clips all the time on KNBR of, you know, Seattle. It was just like, oh my God, I talked to guys who covered the Patriots and were just like, this is the worst job in the universe. I hate this guy. He gives me nothing. And then he comes on all these shows, whether it be Inside the NFL and the Mannings, and I mean, he's everywhere. Pat McAfee, he's on every damn show there is. I mean, talk about marketing yourself. Talk about begging for a job without begging for a job. He's going to be back next year because in all these forums, he's showing how smart he is, obviously. But the greatest thing about Belichick, and this is the hardest thing for any broadcaster to do, is to criticize their peers. So because like Brady, it hasn't been out that long. All these different guys. That's why Dante Whitner is really great at what he does. Is that guys come out and the first thing is they got to learn to criticize their peers. Charles Barkley's been out of the game for a long time, so he can just say whatever he wants. The guys come like whatever, Shaq, all these guys. If you've been out of the game for a long time, it's easy. These guys aren't your friends; they never were. So when you criticize, all of a sudden you're getting texts from somebody. Bro, how can you say that about me, man? You're doing me, you're dogging me. Come on, man. Why you got to do me like that? So, yeah. And I was like, oh, man. So in the back of their mind, they're thinking, I can't say anything. I can't say that. I can't say this. I've told you that. That's why this forum is so great for me. It's like when you work for the flagship of the 49ers or the Giants or the Warriors or any of these teams, it's like you're going to see those guys. Now, I made a case of it a lot of times when I've been at different stops to go to the locker room, all those kind of things, be in front of somebody when you criticize or say something. And if I keep it between the lines, I feel good about it. But it's just one of the problems. Bill Belichick came in and just went and just bulldozes people. I mean, he's ripped guys left and right. He's also praised guys left and right. But he doesn't really have a filter because he doesn't care. When John Gruden first got on, he loved everybody. And then he kind of got it more towards the middle of the road. But when Gruden started doing Monday Night Football, it's like, I love this guy. He's a Gruden grinder. That guy's a Gruden grinder. Who the hell isn't? But Belichick from the get-go is just ripping. He's letting it rip. It's awesome. In regards to where he may go, I don't know. I mean, I think Belichick still has his fastball. I think that just like anywhere, you've been somewhere for a really long time, and it's time for you to go. I have firsthand experience in that. But in terms of Belichick, yeah, I mean, we've heard Jacksonville. We've heard all these different places. I think if you're on the cusp of winning, he can be your closer. That's what Belichick is going to be. I don't think Belichick's going to be a rebuilder. We've heard Jacksonville. That's a rebuild. Jacksonville's a rebuild. They look like they were close a year or two ago when they came back against San Diego in the playoffs and all that. It looked like they were kind of an up-and-coming team and Trevor Lawrence might be something. But again, I told you, teams catch up. They start to scout you, and now Trevor Lawrence. And that's the situation I don't want to be in with Brock Purdy. They gave him 55 a year. They already regret that. That's just the way it goes. Anyway, there's the latest on Belichick broadcasters. But my overall point in saying that is I'd like to know kind of where you are on broadcasters. You want me to talk about them or not? I'm fascinated with it. I think it's really interesting, especially in today's media. I'm kind of down on the Manning cast. It's been okay. You know, the first year they had problems technically, all that. They've kind of worked through some of those things, but still they put on some people that are, you know, promoting a movie or something like that, and it's just jackassery. And don't get me wrong, I love a non-traditional broadcast. I think that the sitting on the couch thing, like you're watching a game like the rest of us, you know, and it's just a bunch of guys BSing, but you have some experts in there, and you have like a guy who played quarterback and a guy who played defense. But I loved it when was it? Was it college where Bill Walton came in there with Jay Billis? And I think it was a football game or something like that. Anyway, it was hilarious. It's like you and your buddies watching a game. So I like that too. They haven't perfected the secondary broadcasts. I know during the college, you know, the college football national championship game, they have three or four broadcasts. They'll have the main one. Then they'll have like a bunch of college coaches. Then they'll have just a bunch of guys sitting around. And then they'll have like a McAfee show, which is kind of like that, but there's expertise in that. I like all those. I think in the NFL, they should do more of those than more than a traditional broadcast. And I like the Manning cast, but nobody's gone out on a limb. Like, put Marshawn Lynch in there. Not with the Mannings. I'm just saying, like, give me something really alt. And let me see what that's all about. But, you know, it's expensive to produce a game. It's expensive to do those kind of things. So it's not like these networks are going to be like, yeah, let's throw this against the wall. Oh, that just cost us millions. They're not going to do that. But I'm a fan of it. All right, finally, in the John Lund Unleashed Thursday show, today's December 5th, let me do a little caboose for you. First of all, before I get to a caboose story from yesterday, and we'll do the, and I said this yesterday, we'll get to the caboose stories every single day. We got to have a caboose story every day so we can laugh, have a little fun, all those kind of things. So we'll do a caboose story every single day. But before I get to a caboose story, yesterday was my fourth anniversary, and because of my situation, and it's not only that I'm doing the podcast every day, which I absolutely love, and posting a bunch of stuff and having a lot of fun and reconnecting with you, the sweet, clean listener, which I love. But, you know, I'm on the phone, I'm talking to people, we're moving, we're shaking, we're doing all this kind of things. I'm sitting in the studio like 12 hours a day. It's been awesome. It's been fun. Illuminating, energizing, all those kind of things. And I totally forget my anniversary. And so she I have a really great wife. Her name is Lainey. And I got to give her a shout out because I'm an idiot. And yesterday was like, oh my God, it's our anniversary. And I'm sitting around like I am right now. I don't even have pants on right now. And it's probably too much more than you needed to know. But, you know, I'm just, and I have showered, by the way. People are hitting me up going, have you showered in the last couple of days? Yeah, I showered last night. I didn't shower yesterday morning, have not showered this morning, but I showered late last night, if you need to know. But so we're going to do things this weekend. But man, if you forgot your anniversary, I don't know what your wife would do to you. But she was cool about it. She was cool about it. So I got to give her a shout out because things have been crazy around my house. And I'm like, oh my God, I forgot the anniversary. That was not good. That was not good whatsoever. And then one other thing before we get to the Caboose Pistol, thanks for hanging out for the third edition of John Lund Unleashed, Bay Area Sports Podcast. Make sure that you subscribe. Please make sure you tell your friends. I have a podcast as well, so if you can't stay for the entire time that I'm on, and it's kind of random. I'll usually go like an hour or so, depending on the day, depending on the feedback, etc. Hit me up at John Lund Radio on Twitter and all of my social media forums, so then you can see, because I'm always sending stuff out and new promos and new cut-ups and all that kind of stuff. So make sure that you're hanging around for that, at John Lund Radio. And then on the YouTube channel, make sure, and again, there's a little bit of confusion on the YouTube channel because I had an old John Lund Unleashed. It's like yellow and blue and all this kind of stuff. So again, if it's not, I guess I'll run this down one more time for you and for me. If it's not this, then it's the wrong page. So there it is right there, at John Lund Unleashed Pod. So make sure it's John Lund Unleashed Pod, and that's what the page looks like, and that's the one that you're going to want to subscribe to if you're watching on the YouTube channel. And then let me do this. Let me hit the caboose really quick here. So we're going to do this every day, every weekday, and we're always going to have a caboose, and we'll build this up. So you've got to tell me if the video is coming through, because I was having a little trouble with the video this morning, but I can still give you the caboose version of it. Out of the New York Post today, naked teacher caught inside elementary school with sex toys, drugs, and women's underwear. Now, look, it's not on me to tell you that your fetish is wrong, but where this guy is from, he's a 34-year-old guy, and he actually teaches at a rival high school. And with the drugs were weed, so with the weed, the sex toys, and the women's underwear, he breaks into a rival high school, goes inside, hangs out. I guess like some alarms went off or he didn't know that they're going off. And then the cops come in and there was this big melee that happens. But when I read some of these stories, sometimes I'm thinking, I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to throw it out there and then you and I can discuss. Look, I've been inebriated a lot of times and done a lot of stupid things. That goes without saying. I experimented with drugs when I was a young man, of course, like everybody does and all this kind of stuff. And sometimes I wouldn't remember what happened, and a lot of times I would, and we'd laugh, and we were in our college days and all that kind of stuff. But you generally grow out of it. As sophomoric and immature as I can be at times, and I know. I have never, especially going to a rival high school, that's, I don't understand that. But you say to yourself as you're leaving your house, all right, I'm going to take some weed with me. Because normally when you leave your house, it's like, do I have my phone? Do I have my keys? You know, your essentials. And this guy thought to himself, I'm going to go to the rival high school in the middle of the night. I got to grab my sex toys, my drugs, and oh yeah, the women's underwear. He's not married, so I don't know where he got the women's underwear. And then he hung out at the opposing school, and then finally cops were called and the guy got caught. I thought to myself, I have been in a strange state of mind on many occasions, and that's never crossed my mind. It's not even crossed my mind. And I've done crazy things, stupid things, illegal things, you name it. Not you name it. I'm not a murderer. I'm not anything like that. I, within reason of what a kid would do that's not the smartest, who would do stupid stuff. I mean, I've done most of it, a lot of it. My parents can tell you. I've done a lot of, I did a lot of stupid stuff when I was a kid, but this guy's 34. He should be growing out of that a little bit. Anyway, naked teacher caught inside elementary school with sex toys, drugs, and women's underwear. Now, what I'm going to try to do is play this. You tell me on feedback if this is coming through. Sorry about the Wendy's commercial. But if this comes through, it does. If it doesn't, then I'm going to post this later. Because the funniest part about these stories, so hit me up. Are we hearing this? The funniest thing about these stories to me are that is the news report, like the girl right there. Let's go out to Beth, who has the story about the teacher caught naked in the classroom with sex toys and drugs. Port St. Lucie. This is Florida. Of course it's Florida. Hi, Tiffany. Her name's Tiffany Rizzo, as you can see there on the screen. So, anyway, there's Tiffany Rizzo, and she's got the unfortunate of, hey, Tiffany, go cover that teacher who was caught naked in the classroom with the sex toys and the drugs in Port St. Lucie. Do I have to? Yes, you do. Would you like to keep your job? There he is. Naked teacher arrested with drugs, sex toys, Port St. Lucie. So there you go. Windmill Point Elementary School. By the way, on top of it, it's Windmill Point Elementary School. There's a concerned parent. It's Windmill Point. It's an elementary school. What is wrong with you? Anyway, there it is. There's your caboose teacher about the teacher caught naked in the classroom with sex toys, drugs, and weed. Did I say that? Sex toys, drugs is weed. Of course he was. And women's underwear was the third thing there. So there he is. All right. There you are. That's the caboose pistol for today. Oh, there you go. I didn't take it off the board there. All right. Do you have any thoughts, questions, comments? As I've said many times on the show already, and this is only our third episode, give me some feedback. Let me know. What do you want in the show? What don't you want in the show? Do you want the caboose? Do you not want the caboose? We're going to start guests next week. I'm lining them up. We got everything set up. I just wanted to reconnect with you. One note for yesterday, I have a previous engagement tomorrow at 8 o'clock. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to tape the show and we'll run it back live and we'll still have the podcast and everything. So I still will be there. And let me know, too, what times work best for you. That's another thing I wanted to talk about. Is 8 a.m. a good time? You think 8 a.m. is a good time? Because I repost this so you can watch it later. I have a podcast of this, so then I repost that. So if on the way home today, you miss some of the show and you're like, whoa, I love that Lund guy, then... or even, you know, mediocre, he's lukewarm, then what you can do is you can listen to the podcast on the way home. So I think that's a good thing. So I post that right after the show so you can hear the podcast. I repost the video. I click a bunch of short videos of anything that you may have missed that I think is fairly decent. And we do some lives at night as well. So we'll do live chats at night. We'll do those kind of things. And do remember, I'm on with Larry Kruger every Monday. We're going to get collaborations with a lot of guys that aren't working, that are great guys in the market, doing all sorts of shows. Makes a lot of sense, right? Guys like Damon and Rod and all these guys that you want to hear from. So we're going to be doing a lot of collaborations with guys. We've all talked about it. So it's going to be really, really cool. So anyway, lots of guests, collaborations, everything's coming. We're just getting started around here. So I appreciate you being a part of the first week of the podcast, but I do love feedback. So whether it's anything that you see on the chalkboard there, intro, update, Sando on Brock, Silver says, Mike Silver, Snell speaks, he became a Dodger yesterday, Adamus, the Warriors being hurt. No Draymond Green and Steph Curry tonight against the Rockets. Broadcaster conversation that we had. The caboose pistol. Anything. Anything I missed. I'll do a 3-minute on. Like during the week, if I miss something in the morning and something breaks, I'll do a quick 3-minute hitter and put it up on YouTube or put it up on my social media. And you can just, hey, Len, you missed this. Or, hey, I want your opinion on this. Or, hey, I got a question on that. Cool. I'm checking it all day long. I got nothing better to do. Suddenly, my calendar has opened up. So anyway, any of those kind of things, you agree, you disagree, great. You want more from the show, less from the show, just let me know. And we'll adjust accordingly if enough people say, you know what, this is really what I want to do. So anyway, there is the, I guess episode 3 is all we're at. December 5th, Thursday, 2024, John Lund Unleashed. As I said, John Lund Unleashed Pod, so make sure that you're following that. John Lund Unleashed Pod, that's the way to go. This is the YouTube page right there. So make sure you're following that YouTube page at John Lund Unleashed Pod. That's the only one to follow. Appreciate you hanging out today. Be back tomorrow. Be doing chats. Be on other shows. So make sure that you're on the lookout. Please tell your friends. And as I said, love talking to you. I appreciate you hanging out, and I appreciate you being a part of the inaugural shows. It's John Lund Unleashed. Have a great day. See you soon.